to Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is brought to you by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Berry.
Delighted today, folks, to be with you on a very... This is the month of April, just starting, and it's a very special month, and it goes right to the heart of who we are and why we are here. This is a national financial literacy month, if you will, and you might ask the question, how does that import to me? Why is it important to me? And I hope we've been able to give you some sense of that over this show. When I ask that question of you, are you financially fit? It's with good reason, because we live our lives surrounded by the importance of our finances, whether you like it or not. How you spend your money, where you spend your money, who you owe, who you don't, are you ready for retirement? We can go on and on and on. Are you investing? So we invited someone here to join us who's in studio with me. It's too bad you can't see her, because she's as beautiful as she will sound. Her name is Gigi Hyland. She's executive director of the National Credit Union Foundation. And prior to her work with the foundation, she served as a board member of the National Credit Union Administration. They regulate credit unions. So you can imagine, she at one time was a regulator. She's now head of the foundation. She is a reputable attorney. Listen, Gigi, welcome to the program. Nice to have you.
Thank you so much, Paul. It's great to be back. Thanks for the invitation. Yeah,
absolutely. This month means a lot, or should mean a lot, to Americans wherever they are. And, of course, credit unions play an important part of that. And the foundation is important to the credit union, because it's really the compassionate arm of the National Credit Union. No, what am I trying to say?
The
Credit Union National Association.
I've
only been involved with you for 10 years. Anyway, I'm nervous because I have a chance to have such a beautiful woman with me.
Oh, you're too much.
But let's talk about why the financial literacy aspect of this month is important.
So it's interesting. You know, we're here on April 1st recording this show, and financial education, financial well-being is no joke. There are some really startling statistics nationally that consumers, I think, need to know about. Sometimes when you think about financial literacy, you talk about, is it just kids that we need to educate and kind of bring them up? Or is it folks maybe that low-income folks that don't have access to resources and information? It's really not. There are a variety of different statistics out there, from government agencies to the Pew Charitable Trust, a whole bunch of people studying these issues. And some of the most interesting statistics are from the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, which in 2014 did a survey and noted that about 61% of U.S. adults admit to not having a budget. Not really startling. Budgets are not the sexiest things in the world. But 15% of them admitted to rolling over $2,500 or more monthly. So that's debt that we're talking about. We also have some statistics on credit card debt, and the average credit card debt is about $15,000. The average student loan debt is about almost $33,000. So we also have 76% of families, living paycheck to paycheck. So this affects everybody who's listening. It affects really your mom, your dad, yeah, your sisters, your family members, your neighbors, your coworkers. The issue of financial stability and financial well-being is an issue for all of us. Mm-hmm. So April is a really important month to really focus on financial fitness and to take a look long and hard, even though people like to say, oh, I just don't want to look at it because it just depresses me. It's better to have control of your money than to just kind of let it run rampant and to get into trouble.
And I think one of the startling numbers, too, is that almost 30% of us have no savings at all. That
Absolutely.
Is just a startling statistic.
Absolutely.
In today's age, when
Absolutely.
We don't know what's going to happen next. They couldn't find $50 outside of what they bring home in a paycheck.
That's right. And there's a lot of work going on in a variety of different areas in the government and nonprofits that are thinking about, you know, we've talked about financial literacy so much, but we don't seem to be getting anywhere necessarily. And so folks are really looking at a definition of financial well-being, this idea that you have security and freedom of choice not only in the present but also in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to have control over your day-to-day finances. You're able to absorb a financial shock. That's the emergency aspect of it. You have the financial freedom to really enjoy life. Yes, I can send my kids to college and I can go on a vacation if I want to. And you're on track to meet your financial goals, whatever those goals may be. And that combination of those four elements, and what I just quoted to you is from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that issued a report in January, that made it really clear that it's that combination that gives consumers a sense of financial well-being.
How do I get there? How do we get there? And I mean, that's the point you made is that, you know, we seem like we're not getting anywhere.
Right.
What is it about this that people don't get? And how come they're not saying, oh, my God, these numbers are scary.
Right.
You know, let's fix that.
Right. I think, you know, again, as I mentioned, I think a lot of people just are afraid to start delving into the issues. You know, if you're 48 years old and you haven't saved for retirement, you're really scared to think about, oh, my goodness, am I ever going to have enough money to get to retirement? Mm-hmm. If you're a new parent and you're looking at that beautiful new baby, you're thinking, how are we going to pay for this child to go to college? We want this child to have every possible opportunity. But it starts with really taking a look at the finances. So, you know, it's good to look at a budget. It's good to see what your income is, what your expenses are on an annual basis. And even though that may change, you know, you might have three jobs in the summertime and then only have one job in January. Mm-hmm. Take a look at that and see what's coming in, what's going out the door. Start saving. You can always start saving. Don't go to Starbucks every day, even though I love Starbucks, and pay that $3.50 for coffee.
Even no matter how small it might be.
No matter how small.
That's right. It's so important. My guest is Gigi Hyland. She is Executive Director of the National Credit Union Foundation. She's here to jog your memory to understand what is important about this month and also what you can do to get yourself underway. And that's the important part of this. This can be your aha moment. Okay, starting today, thanks to Gigi, we're going to do something different and something better for my family and for myself. This is Paul Berry. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. We'll be right back.
We want you to be a part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Or maybe just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
And we're pleased to have Gigi Hyland with us. She is the Executive Director of the National Credit Union Foundation that works very closely with CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. And I have been involved with you guys for over 10 years, more than 12 years. And I know the fine work that credit unions do in terms of providing an alternative for those who need that alternative.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're now over 100 million members.
That gives you an idea of
the importance. What a lot of folks don't know is the work of the foundation. And I say that foundation is the heart and soul of the credit union. Am I overstating it?
Well, thank you for saying that. We certainly are the heart, I would say. We're the charitable arm of CUNA, charitable arm for the credit union system. And we focus exclusively on the financial well-being of consumers through credit unions. So while the foundation doesn't necessarily touch it consumers directly, we provide a variety of products, programs, toolkits that credit unions can use to reach out to consumers on particular financial issues that they may have. Mm-hmm. So we have a variety of toolkits on things like non-prime auto lending. How do you give somebody affordable quality transportation when they don't have a credit file or they have C or D or E, you know, bad credit? What do you do, and how can a credit union be helpful to that? How can a credit union really be an alternative to high-cost predatory payday lenders? How do we connect consumers with credit unions to respond to consumers' needs where they are in life? Mm-hmm. So the foundation works to provide a variety of tools in a way cradle to grave for credit unions to use. One of the biggest products that we have that's really been successful is BizKids, which is a partnership with Public Broadcasting System. Reaches out to 9 to 16-year-old kids, has an entertainment section, backed up by a curriculum that's marked to each individual state standard. So it's 9 to 16-year-olds teaching 9 to 16-year-olds all about financial education. We do high school financial reality fairs where kids can learn in a safe environment by doing, by actually managing a budget, deciding what they want to do and what they want to be, and, you know, failing, but failing in a way so that they learn. Very, very useful experiential learning. Those are just some of the things. We also distribute to credit unions the Money Rules book that's written by Gene Chatsky of the Today Show. And that has been a great success for credit unions to distribute not only to their staff but to their members. Really easy, plain English way to understand money. And that's what it's all about. Money isn't difficult, and it's worth your listeners' time to take the time to learn about how they can improve their financial well-being. Start saving. Talk to your credit union. Open up a checking account. Open up a savings account for your kid to go to college. So many opportunities to really improve the financial well-being. Reduce your debt. And credit unions can help consumers, their members, with all of those things. You just have to walk in the door and say, I need help.
And I think it's important to point out that credit unions are growing. I mean, the fact of the matter is over 100 million members today because people are, they are quote unquote, discovering that the credit union is an alternative.
Right.
You can do it in conjunction with, or you can do it alone, but it's out there and it should be used because it's not a for-profit. It's a for you.
That's right. That's exactly right. You know, a lot of people understand cooperatives in the context of their food, their new food market, their food cooperative that they're members of and that they love. Well, credit unions are cooperatives. They're not for profit, as you said, and they're owned by the members. So their only goal in life is to serve members, just to serve you as the consumer. That's huge when you're talking about your finances and making sure that somebody's your trusted financial partner is looking out for you,
not for shareholders. Absolutely. Yeah. And we've convinced somebody listening that, okay, what do I do next? How do I get involved with a foundation or with a credit union?
Sure. So with the foundation, they probably can't get involved with a foundation because we don't deal directly with consumers. What they can do is they can go to asmarterchoice.org. Great website for consumers to help them figure out what credit union can I join, what are credit unions all about, and what products and services can they offer to help me with my financial well-being. So asmarterchoice.org. Check it out. It's got a map. You can find all the credit unions around where you live, work, or worship. Great opportunity for consumers to find, again, that trusted financial partner for them to help them with their financial capability.
Gigi, you do this all year long. So we're going to have you come back again soon because I think it's so important that we continue to tell people that they have options.
Thanks so much.
And they have good options. And this is Financial Literacy Month.
Absolutely.
Perfect time to talk about these
things. Happy Financial Literacy Month.
Will you come back and see us again
soon? I will. Thanks again, Paul.
You bet.
Take care.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk more about what you should know about finances and the tools that are out there that are designed to help you. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. And our program sponsors, the Defenis Credit Union Council and the Credit Union National Association, we thank them for their continued support of the program dedicated to making all of us financially fit, whether we're talking about your home, your family, or your future, or whether we're talking about the military and those who guard us each and every day. The Defenis Credit Union Council and its member credit unions believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of military saves in their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops wherever they may serve. Military Saves is a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, support, and encourage military families to save money, to reduce debt, and to build wealth. And as part of the Department of Defense's Financial Fitness Readiness Campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. Check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Saves. Set a goal, make a plan, save automatically. Go to militarysaves.org for more information and take the Savers Pledge today. And of course, as we always say, whether you are in the military or not, saving is a great way to go. So make sure you are saving. You know, there are a lot of tools out there that are in place to help us do what we do. And in this Financial Literacy Month, we need to know about many of those that are available to us. To that end, we have a first-time guest on the program. He deals with an organization that you may or may not have heard of. And if you don't, then I think this will be a great time for you to learn about it and to find out whether or not it can be of service to you in some form or fashion. And that's all about what we do all the time. Bud Schneeweiss is the executive director, I think that's probably the right title, of FINRA, the FINRA Foundation. And he joins us now to talk about what his organization is doing and why you should know about it. Bud, welcome to Home and Family Finance.
Thank you, Paul.
I'm learning about it, too, and I've gone to websites and I've taken a look, and I think it's something that the audience should know about. So tell us what FINRA stands for and what it does.
Just like the military, the financial world is full of acronyms, and FINRA stands for the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. We're an independent regulator of the broker-dealers in the United States, and we oversee 6 billion trades in the markets and over 400,000 different broker-dealers and over 4,000 member firms. So there's a lot going on in these markets, and we do our best to keep them open and fair.
Okay. So you kind of like, would it be right to say regulation? Is that kind of what you do?
Yes, we do regulate. Though we are overseen by the Securities and Exchange Commission, so we work hand in glove with them. But yes, we are the day-to-day contacts with the financial industry. Anybody who deals in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, or publicly traded real estate investment trusts belongs to FINRA. And I also work for the FINRA Foundation, which is a small set aside within FINRA, a nonprofit, and we're all about financial literacy.
So kind of like the heart of FINRA, if you will.
Well, I'd like to say that we're quite a bit smaller than FINRA itself, but nonetheless, we have a mighty mission, and we do our best to bring these financial literacy tools and messages to the United States.
Well, as you know, for Home and Family Finance, our purpose is about making sure that we have people aware of what it takes to be financially literate. It's so important. We ask that question, you know, are you financially fit? Unfortunately, the answer right now in too much of the United States, both in and out of military, is that we're not financially fit. We are still, you know, I think over 52% of folks say, no, we're not, you know, we're not saving, we're not doing this, we're not doing that. But I know one of the programs that you have is saveandinvest.org. Tell us what that's about.
Well, saveandinvest.org is the public face of the FINRA Foundation. And again, we provide a lot of tools and resources to our currently serving military and their families to manage their money with confidence. And Paul, you know, you're right, we have a long way to go, but I will say that the military in many respects is doing quite a bit better than much of the United States. For example, they're willing to seek help when they get into financial distress. They check their credit scores regularly, and they do take advantage of some of the resources that DOD provides to them.
It's important to point that out, too, and I think it's a good thing that the military is kind of leading the way in terms of being financially fit and financially ready.
Yep, I agree with you.
Well, we think it's a good point, and it's something that kind of points to the goodness of the leadership that you guys do and the kind of work you do with the military community. What else are you doing with it? Well, let me take a break. Hold on a minute. We're going to take a little break. We're talking with Bud Schneeweiss of FINRA, the FINRA Foundation. And when we come back, we'll find out about what else they're doing with the military community and why it makes a positive difference. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
And my guest is Captain W.G. Bud Schneeweiss of United States Coast Guard, retired. What a pleasure to have him with us. He is the, I guess he's the head honcho, that's what we'll call him, of FINRA. The Investor Education Foundation, as director of the Military Financial Readiness Project. He has been there since January 2013, enjoys traveling to meet and discuss financial and benefit issues with members of our military community, especially those working to improve military financial capability. And as you just heard him say, the military is doing fine. I mean, they're doing better than the rest of the United States. And so they're providing the leadership and the guidance and the direction that we should be going. And part of that is because FINRA, in its capacity, has formed partnerships with so many different agencies. But explain that to us, would you?
You bet. DOD has their financial readiness collaborators, and FINRA Foundation, as well as DCUC and others, have been there from the very beginning. And nobody can do this alone, but we think that bringing these multi-pronged forces to bear on these financial difficulties that some military members face is just the way to go. It's we all play to our strengths and help each other out through this.
But tell me about the FINRA Foundation Military Spouse Fellowship Program. How does that work?
This is the program that I'm very, very proud of. The need was for military counselors, financial counselors in the military community. And also another part of that need was portable careers for military spouses. And DOD and FINRA Foundation found a way to bring those two things together. We have awarded 1,320 fellowships so far since 2006, and we have over 485 graduates of the program, and many of them, those military spouses, are still working in the financial world alongside the military community.
So you started something, is what you're saying.
Well, started something, but what a better group than military spouses. They speak the language, they've lived the life, and many of them are motivated to get into this field because they faced some difficulties when they were starting out, and they want to pay it forward. This is just a great, great community.
That's wonderful. It's a great idea and a great concept, and of course it all works toward the common support that we should all provide for our military families and our military members wherever they are. Tell us about the FINRA Foundation support for the personal financial managers. How does that work?
Well, these personal financial managers are on the front lines. They are often the go-to person when a military member perceives that he or she's beginning to have a problem with their finances or just needs some additional advice and insight. We offer training for them. Last year, for example, we offered a PFM checkup course, a military marriage and divorce course, and a course on military housing free of charge. And, of course, we also make available the MyFICO project to the personal financial managers. And we often find that checking their credit score is what brings a service member into the personal financial manager in the first place.
You know, I as a retired member, you understand the importance of having on-site, involved, up-close and personal involvement with our military members. It's so important that that you're up close and personal in terms of giving them the kind of guidance and advice that they need when it comes to financial management, financial involvement.
You're absolutely right, and a lot of the PFMs out there have lived the military life. They're former or retired military members themselves or military spouses, so they relate. They speak the language, and they know the challenges that military members face.
But for those who have an interest or need advice or are in a position where your services can be of service to them, how do they reach out to FINRA? How do they reach out to the foundation?
Well, the easiest way is to go to our website, which is saveandinvest.org, and there's lots of tools, tips, and other ways to get information and contact with FINRA Foundation. And if we can help, we're sure going to try, maybe through our partners, but we're going to do our best for this military community that serves us so well.
I love the programs that you all have involved. You talked about a couple. Tell us about the MyFICO product. What is that?
Well, MyFICO allows service members to get a no-cost and advertising-free credit score. It's designed to provide one score and a follow-up so that if they modify their financial behavior, it will show the score's improvement. Now, this product, it can be obtained commercially as well, but we underwrite that cost for the service member, and we don't want them subject to some of the marketing that comes along with a commercially obtained credit scores.
It sounds exciting. We're pleased to have you on the program. Butch and Weiss, captain from retired Coast Guard. I hope to meet you soon, have you in studio with us. Something to kind of offset my next guest, Artie Arteaga, who got a few things to say, and he's coming up next to you. So come back and see us again soon, would you please?
You bet, Paul. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Coming up in just a minute, Artie. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.
We want you to be a part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Or maybe just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
And by now, you should know, and I hope that we have made it very clear, that April is Financial Literacy Month. And this show is, as you know, is based on financial literacy. And one of those that supports the program because of that, and one of those who is always asking his military membership, wherever they are around the world, are you financially fit, is Artie Arteaga of the Defense Credit Union Council. They represent installations, credit unions on installations all over the world. And they also see the good good purpose of supporting this program. So without hesitancy, I tell you when I have someone who's involved other than just as a guest, and that is Artie. Artie, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for asking us to come back, Paul. I certainly appreciate it, especially during this week.
Well, it's a special time, isn't it?
Yes, oh, absolutely. I mean, April 1st, certainly you can be, noted by people as April Fool's Day, but as I think my good friend Gigi might have mentioned and many others in the community, it's certainly no joke when we talk about financial education.
April Wise Day is
April Wise. I like
that's
that.
That's right. It's April Wise Day. When you start talking about what we can do collectively to be financially literate, to be better prepared to handle our finances, not only in the civilian world but in the military world, that's financially wise, and you know that.
Well, and you're absolutely right. In fact, last month during our defense issues seminar here in Washington, D.C., Ms. Rosemary Williams, who is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Military Community and Family Policy, and basically in charge of financial readiness in the military, left a really good message with our members that attended this meeting, and she indicated that just as it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a village to ensure the financial fitness and readiness of our troops. And Bud is and FINRA Education
part
Foundation is part of that family. Gigi and NCUF, because they're out in the community where about 66% of our troops reside, certainly a part of that community. And the Defense Credit Union Council and every single one of our credit unions on military bases around the world are an integral part of that particular
program. And, you know, it was interesting, Artie, because Bud said something I thought was worthy of hearing again. And that is he pointed out that the military is not following on this. They are leading the way in terms of how we get to financial literacy in terms of our nation, in terms of our people, and that the military is doing so much, but it takes a village, so it's everybody working together, but they are making progress.
Well, they are making progress. The Financial Readiness Campaign launched in 2003. We've been a chartered member of that campaign from the very beginning. And so has FINRA, to be honest with you. And certainly there have been some major improvements, not only in the financial fitness of our troops and their families, but quite honestly in the resources that we've been able to provide as partners to the Department of Defense and the resources that the Department of Defense has been able to pull together, such as their Military OneSource website, which we highly recommend to not only our troops and families but any organization that wants to become affiliated with this.
And when you say we, you're talking about the Defense Credit Union Council. Explain that to our audience. How does it work? What do you do?
Well, the Defense Credit Union Council, again, supports the credit unions that are on military bases around the world. We currently have somewhere in the neighborhood about 190 credit unions that are in over 250 military installations. And they work hand in hand not only with the respective military commanders but also with the personal financial managers that are on those military bases. Not during the month, not just during the month of April, but all year long, our members have actually signed up with the Department of Defense to ensure that if financial readiness classes are needed, financial education is needed, that they're there to provide that education and to work with our troops and their families to, again, enhance that particular posture. Every single year I go out to our members and there's many things that we can focus on in terms of financial education, but I always go back to the United States Treasury, the Treasury Department's core competencies. And I know when I was on the President's Advisory Council for Financial Capability, we talked about these competencies, and they still exist today. And we're talking about earning. We're talking about spending. We're talking about saving, borrowing, and protecting. And those are the basics that I think every troop and the families out there need to really understand. And if they do that, then I think they get a great grasp of what's happening with their finances.
And the important part of that ultimately is that the military has a mission. And that mission is the protection of this nation and its people. And if you're worried about finances, and God knows if it takes over your head because you're in trouble, it affects whether you're going to be a good defender.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, the logic here is that if a troop is out, whether they be deployed or even here in garrison, if their mind is elsewhere, if their mind is on finances because they're not able to make a payment or they live paycheck to paycheck, then they're not going to be focused on their primary mission in life, at least while they're in uniform, and that's to protect this nation and to ensure our freedoms. And the same when they're in a deployed area there. I mean, it just works exactly the same way.
One of the other things that I think is important, too, is that you don't stop the care and the concern because you've left your post and you're back here. There is follow-up on what happens to our troops returning from wherever they might be that you guys care about.
Well, sure there is. I mean, again, all of our members on military bases have websites, obviously, and there's so much information on those websites in terms of financial education. As I mentioned, the Department of Defense has it as well. So when they're deployed, they certainly still have the tools that are necessary to maintain their basic understanding as I said, those core competencies. But when they return, then you need to meet eyeball to eyeball with those personal financial managers that belong to the department or with the credit union that's on the base. Certainly, when it comes to the competency known as earning, our troops need to understand that as they return, they're going to lose some of the paying allowances that they're drawing while they're overseas. They're going to have to start paying their taxes once again when they get back here in the United States. Obviously, that's earning potential, the net pay is going to be reduced significantly in that area, and that's when they need to get on a spending plan and really understand how to meet those bills on a timely basis and ensure that they don't go after wants versus needs in their pursuit here. Yeah.
I think it's so worthwhile, Artie. As we know, we don't come back to a situation sometimes or most of the time where we are also financially literate and so financially well structured that we can provide the kind of support that our military people coming back into the civilian side needs. It has to be organized. There has to be groups and programs that are in place to keep these folks from falling through the cracks.
Well, and that's why I'm so proud of what the Department of Defense, I'm so proud of the Defense Credit Union Council being part of this village that Ms. Williams talks about. That village is there, 724, 365, when the troops come out, when they go out. It doesn't make a difference. What we need in this village, though, are citizens that are willing to take advantage of the village, and that's our troops and the families. Those are the citizens of the village, Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
And if those citizens don't reach out, and if we're not reaching out to the citizens, then something's going to go awry.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can again assure you that our credit unions, our military bases, are there at the ready, at the vanguard, standing tall, looking forward to helping our troops at any time of day.
Artie Arteaga is my guest. He is head of the Defense Credit Union Council. It's all about making sure that our troops are looked after and that they have the foundation that they need and the background and the capabilities that they need when they come back. When we come back, we're going to talk about the fact that on the other side of the various facilities around the world, our credit unions right here that work hand in hand because it is part of that village. It's part of that working together to look after you. So if you're coming out of the service, listen closely when we come back. There are ways that you can look after yourself and your family. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. Listening to Home and Family Finance, I am your host, Paul Berry, along with one of the sponsors of this program, Artie Arteaga from the Defense Credit Union Council. They see the good sense, folks, in making sure that you are financially fit, whether it comes to your home, your family, or your future. And no one is more concerned about that than Artie Arteaga, no stranger to this desk and to these microphones. And Artie, you know, I think we both share the same concern. We're bringing home a lot of servicemen. Because at this point, some of our campaigns are either finished or winding down. And so what we have are young men and women coming out of, whether you like to call it or not, it's a structured program. Their finances are come to them in a structured way. And all of a sudden, they're out here in a great big wide world. I know that's of concern to you.
Well, it's a major concern to us, quite honestly. As you indicated, many of our troops are returning back home. Given the Department of Defense budgets and the reductions in funding that are ongoing, certainly the force is going to reduce in strength. And when they reduce in strength, these young honorable folks are going to be coming out to the civilian sector. Yeah. When they do that, what happens? I mean, all of a sudden, does the financial training go awry? Does it go back on the shelf somewhere and they forget about everything that they learned? That's where we have a handoff, Paul. That's where we have a handoff. The one of the other partners in this village that I keep speaking about is the CFPB and the Office of Service Member Affairs there. Holly Petraeus and her folks there actually do a great job. They just released and just secured a contract with the Armed Forces Service Corporation, I believe they are, to actually hire counselors so that they could counsel our veterans as they're transitioning
out.
And so I had the pleasure, I think, this past week with Gigi Hyland, quite honestly, last week of attending one of their programs here in the Washington, D.C. area, in Georgetown specifically. And I was able to talk to some of those counselors, and what I portrayed to them, quite frankly, is that I believe our credit unions on base and credit unions in the community are doing a great job. But when our troops walk out the gate, they need somebody there to transition. So it's like running a race, a relay race. I have the baton right now, and I'm ready to give them, these new counselors that are going to be out there, the baton so that they, in turn, can continue all of the good messaging that we've provided over their career.
So important. And if you do that, then those good messages and those lessons learned continue because there's somebody reinforcing. And credit unions are all over the United States, and, of course, they are willing and ready to the degree that they can is to hold hands with our military, saying, come on down, come on over, transfer your account, whatever you got to do, but keep it in the credit union family.
Well, and I think the key here, Paul, and the message that I would love to send our troops and their families that are listening into this particular show, look for trusted agents. You need to look at those that you can trust. When you're on active duty, you know you can trust your first line leaders and your leaders in the military, and you can certainly trust your credit union on military bases because that's what we're all about. When they walk out the door and you're ready to transition into the civilian sector, look for those trusted agents. And I just mentioned one of them coming out of CFPB and Office of Service Members Affairs. There's going to be so many businesses out there that are going to be looking to try to I don't really want to use the word, but I am target our troops to see what they can offer them. And so stay away from that area, folks. Stay away from that area. Don't go towards those predatory lenders. Always vet issues and make certain that you always end up doing business with a trusted person.
And absolutely, folks, if, in fact, you have to walk into somewhere to get some help, walk into your credit union. You know, you may not have a relationship, but before you go to a predatory lender who's going to charge you some owner's number of interest rate, walk in there and say, I'm sergeant or captain formerly with so-and-so. I want to take care of my business. They're going to listen to you.
And if you already have that account with the credit union, then as you walk out the gate, you don't need to surrender that account. You keep that account. Once a member, always a member. And with the technology we have today, Paul, whether it's going to internet banking or whatever the case may be, I guarantee you that you do not have to surrender that membership with that credit union. They are your trusted agent. They are your trusted agent for life. Use them.
We got just a minute left. Anything yet that is a
Well, I would just real quick like to suggest to you, as I mentioned, I would encourage all our troops to always focus on the core competencies, to learn as much as they can about earning, spending, saving, borrowing, and protecting. But also understand that while you're on active duty, the Department of Defense has eight pillars of financial readiness that they want you to focus on. That's your good credit, your financial stability, your routine savings. Focus on thrift savings account. Make sure that you look at SGLI as an insurance possibility. Always use some of the morale, welfare, recreation activities out there, which are low cost, and security clearances. Be very mindful of what you do because it could impact your security.
Financial literacy, that's what it's all about. Artie Arteaga, that's what you're all about. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Paul.
And thank you so much. Al Peterson, thank you so much for running the board. We'll be back next week looking for you. Have a great April.